Well, we've been talking about changed. We've talked about as followers of Jesus, how when we are in right relationship with God and we're spending time with God and we're praying with Him, we're reading His Word, we're spending time with other believers and we're getting wisdom from those other believers, that God changes us with His presence. That when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, when we say, Jesus, you are who you say you are. I believe it with all my heart. You are who you say you are. You did what you said you came to do. You are now with the Father in heaven, and one day you will return. And I put all my hope and all my faith in that, put all my hope and faith in you, and I walk with you every day. When we say that, when we make that decision, God changes us. And we've been talking about changed. That if you're a follower of Jesus, then you have been changed, and we continue to be changed. We continue to be molded and shaped into the people that God wants us to be. Today, we're going to be talking about a heart like Jesus. You see, we've talked about our countenance changes when we encounter the one true living God and we give our life to Him. That when we've spent time with Him, there's something even different about the way we carry ourselves. Our countenance changes. We've talked about how even our aroma changes, and maybe not our physical aroma, like not all of us go around smelling like the manly smell of Old Spice deodorant, right? Like we just... But God tells us in His Word that He has spread through us, He spreads through us the aroma of Christ everywhere we go as followers of Jesus. Not only does our countenance change, but our aroma changes. Now everywhere we go, there's the aroma of Christ that's left behind us. There's the aroma of Christ that's there between us and another person that we're talking with. The aroma of Christ. Not only does our countenance change and our aroma changes, but our outlook changes. Last week we talked about Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Our outlook in life changes. That we can be like the psalmist David who said, you know what, guys? I have tasted and I have seen that God is good. And as I've tasted and seen that God is good, I can put all of my trust in Him. My outlook on life gets better, that no matter what circumstance I go through, I know He will be my refuge. He will be my strength. I know that He will be my provider. Our outlook on life changes when we encounter Christ. Now, again, if you're a follower of Jesus here today, you're thinking, okay, this is great review. I hope it's great review for you. We're going to continue talking about change. And this month, we're going to focus our time on Sunday mornings and the messages and some of our songs. We're going to be focusing on what's called the harvest, okay? And I want to encourage you, and I'll share about this a little bit more later on in the message today, but I want to encourage us that it's not just our church that's going to be focusing on this month. Did you know we have churches from sea to sea to sea, right? From west to east to north, and we don't have a church on the absolute northern sea yet, but from sea to sea to sea in our nation, we're going to be focusing as a convention of churches on the harvest and praying to the Lord of the harvest together. You may have noticed Holly went through those blue sheets that you have, but there's also a little card in there, and I'm going to mention that here in just a little bit, but that card's going to be very important to us this month and going forward. We're going to be talking about the harvest. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But this idea of being changed, we're going to start today in Ezekiel chapter 36. If you have your Bible, you want to turn to it, we'll have it up on the screen. But it's in what we call the Old Testament, okay? And that's that period of time that we have recorded before God sent His Son Jesus to the earth to be born of a virgin. And this book is Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet of God. He was one that told the people of God what God wanted His people to know. Okay? And Ezekiel, he not only told the people of God what He wanted them to know for the present, but He also gave them a few things that He wanted them to know that God would do in the future, that God would bring to fruition. And Ezekiel is talking with the people of God, and God's given him a message. And in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, okay, Ezekiel is getting this message from God, and he's going to deliver this message, and God is telling Ezekiel, my people, they have wandered from me once again, but I'm going to be merciful to them. I'm going to be gracious to them, and I'm going to cleanse them of their sin. He says, I'm going to wash them even with water. I'm just going to wash their sin away. Those things that they've done to break my heart, that go against my will, that go against the law that I've given. He says, I'm going to cleanse them of it. But he also says, he's going to give them something new. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will remove your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Now, this sounds like a very painful procedure, right? God's going to crack your sternum down the middle, spread your ribs, take out this heart of stone that apparently was beating all along even though it was made of stone, right? Helping blood course through your veins and your arteries. He's going to put in a heart of flesh that will work much, much, much better. No, obviously we know it's not a literal heart transplant that God's talking about here. But he's talking about his people. He's talking about how his people have just been completely unfeeling. They've been completely desensitized to the movement of God, desensitized to the law of God, and they've gone off on their own, and their heart has been hardened. And God says they actually have a heart of stone. Stone doesn't have a lot of feeling, right? It causes us to feel if we ever stub our toe against one or we actually accidentally ever fall and hit some part of our body on a rock. Rocks don't feel. But God says, I am going to give my people a new heart. When he says, I'm going to give them a heart of flesh, he means I'm going to give them a heart that can sense my moving. I will give them a heart that can be sensitive to the way that I want to lead in their life. I want to give them a heart that can not only be sensitive to the way that I lead, but sensitive to the people around them. I'm going to change them. And if you're here as a follower of Jesus, God has changed your heart. He has changed it. He's given us a new heart. Now, in that statement, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, what we're not saying is that anyone who's not a follower of Jesus, man, they have just a horrible heart. They don't care about people. They don't care about the world. They don't care about anything. Not what I'm saying at all. Not what this is saying. What we're saying is that God changes that heart. And God changes that heart in a way to say, I want this heart to be all about my purposes and my ways, and I want it to be all about me. All about the God of the universe, the God that created this heart within this person. I want to change them. Today we're going to talk about a heart like Jesus, because as we begin to look at what's called the harvest, what we call the harvest prayer, we get a glimpse, another glimpse, of the heart of Jesus. And Jesus, if we understand to be fully God and fully man, if he's fully God and fully man, and my brain doesn't comprehend it either, okay? Don't worry if you can't really grasp everything that means. But he's fully God and fully man. Do you think that he has a heart that's connected with God a little bit? I would think so. In fact, when Jesus, being who he says he is, doing the things that he said he came to do, he did everything the Father gave him to. Performed every act, complete obedience. His heart was absolutely connected to his Father. That when we're given a new heart, I believe we're given a heart to be like Jesus. Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going to be for the rest of this message. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35. God gives us a new heart when we give our lives to his Son. He gives us a new heart. And I want us to get a glimpse as we enter into this month of praying for the harvest. I want us to get a glimpse of what this heart looks like. Jesus has been ministering. He's actually been driving out demons and doing all kinds of great, amazing things. And then we pick up in this account, it says, then Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were weary and worn out, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, living in the city, we, with the size of the yards that we have, we don't have a we don't really get a great idea of what a harvest field might look like if we just knew the city. Anybody ever driven just outside of our city? Right? Especially if you go east or south or north, you know. West, it's a little tough with the mountains, you know, to see those fields. But if you've ever driven east of our city, if you've ever gone just south of our city, even just north, you see the vast expanse of field upon field. Have you ever made that drive in July? And seen the canola fields? When they're in bloom? Have you ever seen it? I mean, they're solid yellow everywhere. It's amazing. Gold, actually. It's beautiful. Well, Jesus, they lived in a very agricultural time, right? That if people didn't farm food everywhere, there wouldn't be enough to go around. So this image that he's giving his disciples really does have a really great impact for them. This image he's giving his disciples, this picture that he's saying, he says, when I want you to pray to the Lord of the harvest, he says, it's time. He says, literally, when he says the fields are ready, he actually means they're ripe, they're white. The heads of grain are all fully mature. It's time to go bring in the harvest. We look at Jesus and we see a little bit of his heart here. He's been healing. He's been going through, healing every disease, every sickness. It says when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. They were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. The crowds were following Jesus, soaking in, trying to soak in everything he had to say, just marveling at the miracles that he was performing. They were bringing the sick to him. They were bringing the disease to him. And yet there was something in them that Jesus saw that saddened him. Something in them that when it says he had compassion for them, it broke his heart for them. Because he knew they don't know the Father like I know the Father. They don't know the Father like they need to know him. And Jesus went on to fulfill the life that God meant for him to live. To be crucified on a cross, to be put in a tomb and risen on the third day, to provide the only way, not a way, the only way for people to know their Heavenly Father in the way that Jesus knows him, in intimate, right relationship. When we look at this passage, we see a little bit of the heart of Jesus. He felt compassion for them. They were weary and worn out, sheep without a shepherd. It's interesting that Jesus makes this picture, this comparison of like sheep without a shepherd, because again, agricultural society, right? Everybody knew what a shepherd was. Everybody knew what sheep looked like with their shepherd. And in other accounts in Scripture, it talks about how the sheep know their shepherd's voice, right? Know a good shepherd's voice. And they follow that shepherd because they know that shepherd will lead them to food, that shepherd will lead them to water, that shepherd will lead them to safety at night. He'll lead them to their pen where the animals can't get after them. They know that shepherd will take his staff and he'll beat the wolves and the bears over the head to make sure that that animal doesn't get at the sheep. Everything that Jesus says when he says they're weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd, he says they remind me of a flock of sheep that just wander around. They don't know where their good food source is. They don't know where the water is. They don't know where protection is. They're just sheep. They're not the smartest beings in the world. And on their own, they can't do it. I think what Jesus is saying is, guys, you guys that I've chosen, your heart needs to be broken for these people, just like mine is. Your heart has to be broken for them. He says, but he doesn't say, do your best to make sure that everyone is not like a sheep without a shepherd. He doesn't say, go out there on your own and do your very, very best, and I'll give you a good job button when you're done. He said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. He says, yes, we do need people out there working. We do need people out there doing our very best. People out there helping people understand who I am, who their Heavenly Father is. But he says, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. The harvest belongs to the Heavenly Father. It's not ours. He lets us partake in it. He lets us work in it. It's important for us to work in it. But it's not ours. And we're supposed to be out there, right? We're supposed to be helping people see what a life lived with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit inside of you. We're supposed to help people understand what that looks like. But we're not supposed to do it on our own. He says, you pray to the Lord of the harvest. He's the only one that can bring it in. He will use you. You can take part in it. But it's his harvest. Pray to him to raise up workers to join you. Pray to him to be the one to bring it in. We get a glimpse of the heart of Jesus. And when we're changed, we are changed and given a heart like his. We're changed and given a heart that says, my heart breaks for those people that don't know God the way they need to know God. That even though they may not feel like it, even though they may not get that sense all the time, they really are like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know God's protection. They don't know God's provision. They don't know him as a refuge. They don't know him. They don't know his voice. So as a convention of churches, we're gathering together to say, you know, if Jesus told us to do it, it's probably pretty important. We're gathering together as a convention of churches, 300 churches across our nation are joining together to say, we will pray for this month. We will pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will raise up workers. And oh, by the way, in order to be a worker in the harvest, in order to be a worker in the harvest, you've got to belong to the family of the one who owns the field. In order to be a worker in the harvest, we've got to be called a brother or sister in Christ. And if we're called a brother or sister in Christ, on the other hand, that not just does it qualify us, but what it means is that if we're called a brother or sister in Christ, if we're a follower of Jesus, that means that we're part of the family. We don't really have a choice to be in the field, but we are in the field. Now, you can be in the field. We can be in the field and be completely ineffective. I can be in the field and looking at all the harvest and going, cool. But unless I put my hand to the plow, unless I put my hand to the harvest tool, I'm ineffective. Not only does it qualify us, but it puts us in the field. There's a little card in your bulletin. Can you find this card? Did everybody get one? If you didn't get one, there's a few more on the back table, and we'll have a few more next week. It says, pray for the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up workers to send out into his harvest. There's a place on the back of this card that says, I am praying for, and you have a place for four names. I would love for us, each and every one of us. Now, if you want to pray as a family, that's wonderful, but I would encourage each and every one of us to take one of these cards and pray and ask God, God, who are the four people that you want me to pray for? Who are the four people that you want me to pray to you that you would work in their lives in such a way that you would change them? And God, that you might even use me to do it. He doesn't have to use us to do it, but we're going to pray for him, and we're going to be certainly open to letting him use us to change them. We're doing this, again, this isn't just our church. Like, these are 300 churches across our nation doing this together, praying for people by name, because we want God to raise up more and more and more workers. In fact, today I've got a short little video for us that it's an invitation from our national ministry leader, Jerry Tyone, that he invites us as part of the Canadian National Baptist Convention to join together in this harvest. Now, Tobes, can we play that video? And just to say, to send out workers into his harvest. And that's what we're doing as a convention of churches. That's what we're going to do together as Southwinds Church. Let's pray. Pray that God would bring in the harvest. Pray that God would send out more and more and more workers. Pray that as we gather on every Sunday, that we would have a need to put out more and more chairs because God is raising up workers. Because God is raising up people and drawing them to himself. Jesus tells us to pray for it. He tells us to be part of it. So now it's time for us to do it. And again, we do this each and every year in this month of May. And this month, we're going to continue on Sundays to talk about the harvest and talk about, okay, he says that there's a great audio file online that says that I can play on my headphones and help me as I prayer walk my community. No clue at all what prayer walking is, right? For some of us. That's okay. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what it means to get into our community and be intentional about those walks that we take in this. Is the weather not been beautiful lately? It's been beautiful lately, right? To take advantage of that sunshine, to get a little bit of vitamin D soaked in through our skin, that when we're doing that, we can be intentional in doing that. Intentional in praying for our community, intentional in praying for the little children that we walk past. And it's a great audio file. I would really encourage each of us to check it out. They give little tips on how to pray, and then there's music that plays after that, giving us time to pray as we walk. And just, you know, moms, maybe just leave babies at home and take a little walk, right? Otherwise, there's no hope in listening to an audio file. I understand that. I get it. But there are files on that website that help us with this is what prayer walking is. This is a file that you can use to listen to while you do it. This is what praying to the Lord of the harvest is. And there's actually an interactive calendar. I had a couple paper copies made up for those of us that aren't online yet, okay? And there are a few of us that aren't quite there yet, haven't just made that leap to the internet yet. But if you have made that leap to the internet, cnbc.ca. And there's an interactive prayer calendar that every single day from today going through the end of this month, there's a little devotional thought. And even one of our very own here at Southwinds has written one of those devotionals. Now, I'm not going to tell you who or what day it's on. It's going to be a test for you, okay? To see if who's doing the prayer calendar, right? But there's a prayer calendar that every day, there's a little devotion in there. And it's just a thought of, it's a word. It's a couple of paragraphs to help us start thinking about What are ways that I can pray? What are things that I can do to be part of God's harvest field? So please, go on that website. We'll send you an email. It'll have the link in there. It'll have the website in there. But please go on there. Check it out. See what part we would play in praying to the Lord of the harvest. In our workplaces, in our communities, wherever God has us, he wants to use us. He's given us a heart like Jesus. Let's express it.